We're going to start today with Psalm 46. I'm going to read the entire psalm, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease upon the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I'm going to preach a message today called Trusting God in Uncertain Times. And these times are indeed uncertain. But one point I want to make is that most, if not all, of the times in this present world are uncertain. But God is certain. God is trustworthy. And we need to trust him, especially in times where we're tempted to fear. I'm going to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll look at the scripture together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the Almighty God, that we can trust you and we are commanded to trust you, and that nothing changes when we trust you. Nothing changes in the sense that we are clinging to the one who never changes. You are not depending upon our trust, but we must depend upon your almighty character and your holy, righteous character. And I thank you for the reminder that we can give to all of us today that God is trustworthy, God is faithful, and God is expecting us to trust him in uncertain times. I thank you for this reminder, and I pray that you would bless this scripture portions to our souls today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you some thoughts that I think are appropriate for a time such as this. First of all, uncertainty is the trademark of life in this present world. The second point, our security is our eternal, unchanging, all-powerful God. Third, our circumstances are a test of our faith to remind us of God's control. And fourth, our goal in this life is to trust him in spite of circumstances. That's the truths that I want to share with you, and I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scripture to encourage us today. First of all, uncertainty is the trademark of life in this present world. We're looking at a time where we think is unprecedented, where we're not allowed to go places we might want to go. Some of you are out of work. We don't know when this all is going to be ended and these restrictions lifted. And to say nothing of the disease, COVID-19, which is still spreading, and we're not even sure if it has peaked yet in this country. And yet, we know that God has not changed. God has never worried about anything. God has never said, oops. But yet, as we live in this sin-cursed world, we have uncertainty all around us, and we always will. As I said in the first thought here, uncertainty is the trademark of life in this present world. Psalm 90, verse 10 says this. Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. Then if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So Psalm 90, verse 10 predicts that the average lifespan is about 70 years, and if we have strength to live longer than that, then even in that strength we have labor and sorrow, and it is soon cut off. As James says, our life is a vapor. Job 14, verse 1, of course, Job in a time of great uncertainty in his life, he says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That was Job 14, 1. And so this time of uncertainty is nothing new and nothing unfamiliar to us if we think about it. We think about the history of our nation, and we're going through times that we think are unprecedented, but not really, because 100 years ago there was a flu, what was called the Spanish flu, that was much worse than what we're experiencing now, and our nation was in a shutdown at that time. 1918 and 1919 was the years, and we got through it, even though it was a horrific time. And so this nation has been through this, and God has seen us through even in worse times than this. So I want to ask you what you are trusting in. Are you trusting in your bank account right now? Are you trusting in your retirement fund? Are you trusting in job security? Are you trusting in your health? Are you trusting in your home or your possessions? There are major questions about most of those things right now, the things that are so important to our lives. And so we have a lot of uncertainty, but we have a God who is absolutely trustworthy. I did want to say this before I go on to the next point, that we do have a responsibility to live wisely according to God's word and good sense. Just because God never changes and we can trust him doesn't mean that we just live life loosely. We have a responsibility to live wisely, as God told us to do so in his word, and according to good sense. However, in the grand scheme of things, there's not a lot that we have control over. We don't have control over what the government does. We have a very small amount of control, even in our democratic republic. We have very little control over decisions that are made. We have very little control over what goes on outside of our own lives. We have very little control over the world at large. And we have to admit that our control is extremely limited, yet we have a responsibility over our own actions, our own attitudes, our own responses, our own thoughts, and our own words. And Proverbs tells us in general terms that if we live wisely and walk in God's ways, we will be blessed. But that doesn't mean that trouble will not come. In fact, peace, that the Bible speaks of a great deal, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is an inward peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ. And so as we know that uncertainty is a part of life, in fact, I call it a trademark of this life, we still have certainty in our God. And so the next truth I want to share with you is our security is in our eternal, unchanging, all-powerful God. If we think we have security without God, it is only an illusion. Our eternal God is our security. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let me say that again. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God is our refuge. God is our security. He's also our security because he is unchanging. Hebrews 15, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that he never changes. He is always the same, and there is much security in that. Malachi 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. And we have our security in our unchanging, eternal, and all-powerful God. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to read most of this chapter as a reminder of how powerful our God is. Isaiah 40, verse 9. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? God is describing himself with these rhetorical questions as the one who can span the universe with his hand. From when we spread out our hand like this with our thumb and our pinky, God's hand is so enormous, so infinite, that he can span the universe from galaxy to galaxy with his hand. He's taken the earth and all the dust and sand and all of the rocks of the earth. He can take it in a measuring cup, like we would take a measuring cup to cook a meal. He can take the entire earth in his measuring cup. He's weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. This is our Almighty God. Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Who has given God advice? Who has taken God aside and told him the way things ought to be done? I mean, think about that. There is no way that we are going to have a place where we say to God, this is how it ought to be. And frankly, I'm glad to be in a place where I can look to him for how things ought to be. There is no way that any of us could be in a position of authority over the whole universe. And if we were, it would be a bad situation. God is the one who is all-wise, all-knowing, and all-powerful. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. The Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. So the political power that some have or think they have, God has no time and no attention for someone who thinks that he is all-powerful and he is as great as God. But so many of the world leaders think that they are God, and many of history and even now demand to be worshiped as God, and God thumbs his nose at that notion. Verse 16 says that Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. That's all the famous trees of Lebanon. That's not even enough for all of the sacrifices and all of the animals to be sacrificed to fill up the glory of God and to satisfy him. He's not even interested in burnt offerings except as an act of worship from the heart. And all of the nations, all of the political power, God says that's complete vanity. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished, he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He speaketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. In other words, people want to make a god in their image. They want to make an idol so that they can worship their god. And they have to cut a tree down, they have to melt some metal down, they try to put it in position and solidify it so it won't be blown over with a strong wind. And yet, we have a God who created all of these things and who is in complete control over even nature itself and even history as well. Verse 21, have you not known, have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What an amazing passage in Isaiah 40, showing the power and might of our eternal, unchanging, all-powerful God. That is our security. And as I said a couple minutes ago, security without God is only an illusion. But our circumstances are a part of our life. They are changing constantly. If we look at the last couple weeks in our world today, in our nation, even in our state, the circumstances have changed with such breakneck speed that it's hard to keep track. Our circumstances are constantly in turmoil. Or if there's a good day where you have a good day, I guarantee you that the next day is going to be a letdown. Our circumstances are never the same, even from day to day, or at least from week to week. And we think about each year that we go through, how many things change in that period of time. And so when we look at the unchanging God and our constantly changing circumstances, I say this: circumstances are a test of our faith. Circumstances are a test of our faith to remind us of God's control. So whether it's pleasant circumstances or difficult circumstances, either one is a test of our faith. If you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to show you a passage of Scripture, actually a warning of God, warning from God to the nation of Israel, warning against prosperity, warning that if they or when they encounter comfortable times, that they need to beware that they would not forget God. Pleasant times are a temptation to forget God. Verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget the Lord thy God. I'm sorry, try that again. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments, his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of, brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that thou might, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And so God is warning them about good times, because pleasant times are indeed a temptation, as well as difficult times. Difficult times are a temptation to fear and complain. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and the account of Jesus in the boat with the disciples on a stormy afternoon. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went up into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. The difficult times are a temptation to fear and complain. And so when the storm is raging, we need to look to God all the more. I want to remind you of another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just the fact that our bodies are frail. Our bodies do get sick. And yet there's a purpose even in that frailty. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure. What treasure is that? The treasure of God's truth, the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God has put this treasure, the truth in our hearts that has been shined. Let me read verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this treasure is found in earthen vessels, or another translation, in clay pots or jars of clay, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What is sickness? What is frailty? What is tired and weariness? What does that remind us of? That we don't have power to accomplish all that we desire, or even all that God desires of us. But the power is of God. The power is of God, the eternally beneficial power. We might have youth, we might have strength for a period of time to accomplish things that impress other people, but the power and what is truly beneficial of an eternal value is that of God, and that is accomplished primarily through those that, as 2 Corinthians 12 says, when we are weak, then we are strong. That is the strength by which we can do all things, Philippians 4, verse 13. But down to verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Could it be that God makes sure that we have times of uncertainty so that we remember to look at the things that are eternal, the things which are not seen? That helps our faith. And in fact, the fourth truth I want to share with us today is that our goal in this life is to trust Him in spite of our circumstances. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks about this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye now have seen him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says that your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. And how is our faith tested? It's through the trials and temptations. Our goal in this life is to trust God in spite of our circumstances. God is our reality. And all of our circumstances are temporary. One of the favorite phrases in the Bible is this: "It came to pass." The good times are only temporary, the bad times are only temporary. But God is a constant and a reality. He is reality. He is more real than the chair you're sitting on. He is more real than the home that you are living in. He is more real than this church building right here. He is more real than the earth that we live upon. Because all of those things that I mentioned are temporary. They will pass away, but God will never pass away. He is eternal. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. He is our high tower. He is the one that we run to for security. It's like the little child that gets scared and runs to mommy's arms. Mommy was there the whole time, and that child is fearful, and those arms are security for that child. God has His arms outstretched at all times for us, and we are commanded to make Him our refuge. All of the things that I mentioned before, the bank account, the retirement, the health of our bodies, our homes, our possessions, all of the things that are so uncertain, God says, "I am your high tower, your security from the battles and the storms that rage outside." And so God has told us, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And God is our refuge. God is our strength. And our goal in this life is to trust Him, who is our security. He is our high tower. He is the one to whom we run in times of trouble. And another thought I want to share is that our lack of faith, the times that we fear, the times that we complain, the times that we forget Him, that doesn't change who He is at all. That doesn't change who the character that is absolutely unchanging and perfect. Just because someone doesn't trust God, just because we sin against Him and not having faith in Him, that doesn't change anything about Him. It's He who is our refuge, whether we run to Him or not. It is He who is unchanging whether we trust Him or not. It is He who is all-powerful whether we believe Him or not. It's we who do not trust Him. We are the ones at a loss. He is not at a loss at all when we do not trust Him. We are the ones who suffer. And furthermore, in His word, we are commanded to trust Him. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Our faith is in something more solid, more trustworthy than even the things that we are standing or sitting or clinging to on this earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews 11, 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Philippians 4, 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And one final thought is that joy is possible only if we trust God. God says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can have no joy if we're not trusting God. Unless we have our hearts secure in our faith in God, then we can have no joy. And we think of the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. When we love God, our heart and our thoughts will be on Him. He will be in our thoughts constantly when we love Him, because that's true of anything we love. We love our family, so we think about them constantly. And whatever else we love, it is on our minds a lot. If we love God, then He will be in our thoughts. And the faith that He gives us will also be in our hearts. The Spirit of God gives us peace and joy, but that is a demonstration of love and trust. And so if we want joy during these difficult times, then that is God's will for us to have joy in these difficult times, but it is only possible when we trust Him, when we believe Him, and when we allow the Spirit of God to produce that fruit in our hearts. And so, as we close the thoughts today, I can think of no better way than to read another psalm together, and that's Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and notice how many times it talks about trusting God. Psalm 34, turn there with me and follow along as I read. Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not a one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I want to close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are trustworthy. Thank you that you have us in your hands, and that nothing can harm us when you have your hand of protection over us. Thank you that the difficult times are from your hand, because it teaches us to trust you. Thank you for the pleasant times, but I pray that you would guard our hearts against forgetting you during those pleasant times. We give you praise for blessing us, but Lord, I pray that those blessings would not turn into a curse in our own hearts because of our lack of faith and lack of love for you. I pray that you would remind us over and over during these days to trust you and have the joy of the Lord as our strength. We thank you for keeping us safe according to your will, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.